It's January 30. You must have seen in the movies about the Second or First World War the scene in which the officer rises his men from the trench and leads them in a suicidal attack on the enemy positions. An officer and his soldiers have to overcome hundreds of yards of no man's land under constant enemy machine gun and artillery fire, run through minefields, crawl through the barbed wire, step over the corpses of their own comrades. At the end of this scene, usually all or almost all the characters die. The Russian army is still fighting in exactly the same way, like it's 1914 or 1941 now. In the Donbass, the Russian command sends detachments of infantrymen armed only with rifles and often without even bulletproof vests to Ukrainian positions one by one. The Ukrainian military calls this enemy tactic meat waves. The first such wave usually dies completely. The task of these people is to unmask the Ukrainian firing positions, causing fire on themselves. The second and several subsequent waves are also usually do not survive. Their task is to suppress the firing points explored by the first wave and capture them. It rarely succeeds. But if it succeeds, then the meat wave, which had succeeded in suppressing the firing point, takes the Ukrainian position and prepares a bridgehead for launching a new meat waves on new firing points. The Russians absolutely do not consider their own losses. They have under 150 million people who, as it turned out, do not resist at all when they are sent to certain death in an unholy war of conquest. As far as I understand, the Russians were largely forced to switch to the tactics of meat waves by modern Western weapons, which were provided to Ukraine by our friends and partners. Precision long-range artillery and HIMARS missile launchers made it almost impossible for many areas near the front lines to stockpile the ammunition and fuel needed for modern mechanized warfare. Because of this, Russian equipment and artillery are often located tens of miles from the battlefield, out of range of Ukrainian missiles and shells. But it doesn't stand still. If one of the meat waves manages to advance, all this equipment also pulls closer. The Russian offensive that Western journalists and politicians are talking about will most likely look something like this. Dozens or even hundreds of such meat waves will at one moment move forward on different sectors of the front. Their main task will be to break through defense lines in at least one or a couple of places, so that later Russian military equipment will pour into this gap, tanks, guns, and everything else. The offensive will surely choke in its own blood. The Russians will lose several thousands more of their soldiers, but unfortunately, there will be losses among the Ukrainian defenders and among civilians. Again, our Western friends and partners can prevent these losses. Ukraine really needs longer-range missiles than the ones we have now. We must hit Russian warehouses and accumulations of equipment at a distance not tens as now, but hundreds of miles. The new missiles will be able to destroy roads and bridges through which food and ammunition are supplied to the occupiers, to destroy their headquarters and barracks in the rear. And then, instead of preparing for an offensive, the Russians will be forced to retreat. If you live in the United States, write letters to your senators and congressmen, urge them to give Ukraine new missiles. If you live in Europe, Asia, Africa, Australia, or New Zealand, remind your politicians to talk about the need to transfer new missiles to Ukraine at every meeting with the Americans. No matter how pathetic it may sound, the outcome of this war depends, among other things, on your political activity.